help on anybody. And I was thinking about that earlier tonight here. A lot of times we just like to look at that for the salvation aspect of God. That God won't force you to be a Christian. He won't force himself on you. But that also continues once you accept Christ as your Savior. God won't force you to go deeper in Him. God won't force you to have a real close relationship with Him. He gives you that free will. You can have that relationship with Him. You can go deeper with Him, but He won't force you to do it. God won't force you to go God won't force you to talk about Him wherever you go. You have a free will. You can do what you want. But we want to do things that lift up the name of the Lord and edify Him. In Acts chapter 17, this was Paul on Mars Hill. And there was quite a happening that was going on here. And it said, ye men of Athens. Now the men of Athens, they were really superstitious people. They had their certain ways of doing everything. And they were into deep things, into deep theological things and beliefs and mysticism. I'll say it that way. And he said unto you, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are superstitious people. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you who this is. God that made the world and all things there, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Next two verses, listen closely. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, we live, and also your own popes have said, for we are also his offspring. And the last verse I'm reading is number 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and men's devices. So it's quite a situation. Sure, who you are worshiping. Do you know who you are worshiping? There are a lot of people around this world today that do not know who they are really worshiping. They're just worshiping. You get it over into India where they believe in reincarnation and things of that nature, and the cows are holy, the animals are holy, and you know, you got Uncle Mike coming back as a fly or something, and they just believe in really superstitious, weird stuff. Well, the people of Athens, Paul says, you're too superstitious in all things. And why does he say that? Because he said, I passed by an altar, and the altar, the writing on it, is worshiping this unknown God. To you, you don't know who God is, and you're worshiping him. There are people today that are worshiping God that don't even know they're worshiping God. They ignorantly worship him. And he says, this God I declare unto you. And so they were worshiping without knowing. We need to know. We need much more of you when you come in here to church and we have a time of worship and praise like we have here tonight. And you know who you're worshiping. You know what he's done for you. You know the story from the beginning to the end. You read the back of the book. You know that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Build the temple. This is a holy God. This is a great God. And God wants you to know him in that way. Not just when you come in the they say praise him and you're like, okay, I praise you, Lord, but how can we be praising the Lord if we don't really know who he is? We first of all have to know who God really is, and you will spend a lifetime trying to listen who God really is, because he's that great, he's that magnificent, he's that wonderful, he's that awesome. Amen. The Bible tells us that his ways are past finding out. Amen. To have the knowledge of God, to know what God knows. Our minds couldn't fathom claim to know. He made the world and everything that's in it, all of creation that you see out there. My wife and I made this journey in the month of June, and we seen beauty, we seen things that just took our breath away. It's just so awe-inspiring. You see it. But when you first, if you've never seen it, when you first walk up to the rim or rim, whatever you call it, it puts a tear in your eyes. Just so breathtaking. Well, I'm serving the God that created that. But yet there's superstitious people even out there. For you can get guided tours. And as we were walking along the trails, that there was people that were getting guided tours. And they were led that way. And I know that that's the God that I'm serving. So this God made the world and the beauty and all the things that are therein. And when we was in Yosemite National Park in California, You go through a tunnel, and it's a long, long tunnel. And when you break out on the other side, the beauty that's there just takes your Grand Canyon, almost puts a tear in your eye. It's just, you just don't have words to say. It's so beautiful. And people come by the thousands into that park. I don't know how many millions of visitors they get each year. The Yellowstone Park's the same way. You see all these temples made with hands. And they were trying to create a place to contain this God, to have this God. And Paul was saying, this God doesn't dwell in a temple. He's just not in a temple. We don't go down to the temple. That's the only place that we can meet God. Here at the church house, this isn't the only place that you can meet God. He dwells within us. He lives within us. Amen. We accepted Him into our life. And we're living in a good dispensation. This God is within us. He can speak to us, and He doesn't want to speak to us. Neither is worship with men's everything. He doesn't need anything from you if you want to get technical about it. He wants your devotion. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to believe in Him. But if you choose to not do any of those things, He's okay with that. But not really. But you understand what I'm saying? Because He doesn't need that existence. And He gives to all life and breath, and all things that we have is because of God. Amen. It's because of God. President of the United States. He knows what's going to happen between Russia and Ukraine. Yeah. If you're following any of that story, He knows what they make me a little frightening. But this God that we're serving, He has that in His control. He has that in His hands. And He's determined the times before appointed. And nothing's going to happen out of God's time. Even if China rises up against America and does their ill will against us, that's in God's hand. God appointed it to be so. We're not going to stop it if that's the way it's going to be. We don't have to worry about those things. And then He goes on into this verse here. And He says that the people, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might find Him. Amen. It's the hope that they might find Him. And that they'll grope for Him. They'll feel after Him and find Him. Though He be not far away from every one of us. And that's across the entire globe and the world that we're living in tonight. God's not very far from any one of them. And we watch the little video this morning of the Muslims and the persecution that they do against Christians, actually persecuting God Himself. But God is not very far away, even for many of those Muslims. If they call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. Amen. They can experience the same salvation that we have. He's not very far from any one of them. He's only a prayer away. He's only a prayer away of saying, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I believe in You, Jesus. You're the only begotten Son of God. He's that close to every one of us. He's not very far away, like we studied in Sunday school this morning with Elijah and Balaam. Amen. And they call on Balaam, and they cut themselves, and they spent at least 8 hours doing that, and Balaam wasn't answering them because He's a God that was made of hands. It was man's imagination that created that God. But this God that we're serving, you better be careful what you ask of Him, because this God will answer you. And He answered Elijah by fire. And the prophets of Balaam, they called and called, and there was no answer. And Balaam, he poked him a little bit. And he says, maybe he's on a vacation. Maybe he can't hear. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe I better call a little harder. And they started to get frantic and started cutting themselves. Amen. And then at the time, and it's an interesting thing that it was brought out this morning, but at the time of the evening sacrifice, it was Elijah's turn to show that what the real power of God was. This God that we're serving, He's real. He's alive, and He will answer. Daniel needed Him. God answered and was there with Daniel when he needed Him. The three Hebrew children needed Him. God didn't let them down. David needed Him when he faced Goliath. I'd like to talk to David when I get to heaven, because I just have a sneaking suspicion. We read that story, and we think David just went out there with no fear whatsoever. I'm just this little guy, but I know I can get that giant. I'd like to think that perhaps David, and this is just my imagination, he probably had a little bit of fear in his heart, but there was a little bit of time there. You can't tell me that the enemy wouldn't have warred against him and said, hey, you know what you're about to do? You better go down. You're going to die. You better enjoy this little walk, because this is going to be the last walk you take. Amen. But he rose up in the power and the might of the Lord. He put his trust in God. He was waiting on Him. And I've been sharing that for a few weeks when we're waiting on God. We have a confident expectation that He is going to answer us.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to answer us. We have that unto him.
Yeah.
And so, as Paul went on here, he says, people can find it. He's not far from any one of them. The vile sinner that's out there, God is not far from them.
That's right.
Amen. Those that go out and commit all kinds of, that break all of the Ten Commandments, that go against God, God's not very far from any of them. They just need to learn to call upon him. And then we was looking at verse 28, where I wanted to just dwell a little bit tonight. For we know that in him we live and we move and we have our being. Amen. Our power comes from God. We live and move and have our being in him. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. No, in myself I can't face that situation. I can't do that. But it's not me. We sometimes need to sing that song. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. I'm wrapped up. I'm tied up. I'm tangled up in Jesus. I'm going to let Jesus take the wheel. I'm going to let him take the reins. Because remember, we have that free will. If you want to try to solve all your problems, God will allow you to attempt to do that. He'll just sit back and allow you to attempt to do that. But say to Jesus, here, you take the reins. However you want to say it, here, you take the wheel. Here, you take control of this situation. When you really, truly let him take control of the situation, he will come through every time with a victory for you. Because it's in him. We have to realize that as believers, it's in Jesus that we live and move and have our being. And what did our brother share with him this morning? Jesus means salvation. Amen. Salvation from the Lord. And so Jesus, it's in Jesus and our salvation from the Lord. We live and we move and we have our being. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Getting more of Jesus in your life. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can do exploits for the Lord. We can run through a troop. We can leap over a wall. We can go out there. We can defeat the Goliaths in our life. God might anoint you for a situation. Everybody else might be standing around, but God might choose you to be the one and go out there and give the enemy the defeat that he deserves. Or as we say, give him the black eye. We don't know why God does the things the way that he does them, but we all need to be ready to go to battle. It's through Jesus that we live and function, and we have our identity. Our lineage comes from him. Oh, we can sing that song. Oh, yes, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. I'm pretty thin, so I can see all kind of veins in here. Amen. That's the royal blood of Jesus flowing in my veins. And the song goes on to say, I who was wretched, was blind, now can sing. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. One. I'm a child of the King. Otherwise, I've said it this way. I'm a King's kid. We need to realize who we are in God. Our lineage comes from him. And so the Greek definition for living is to have, in him it says we live. And the Greek definition for this is to have true life and worthy of the name. We're active, we're blessed, we're endless in the kingdom of God. We enjoy real life if we're living in him. In him we have living water. We have vital power. We're full of vigor. Amen. We're fresh in him. We're strong in him. We're efficient in him. We're active in him. We're powerful in him. That's what the Greek word for live. Paul says, in him we live. Amen. Meaning we have real life. That living water flows through us. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. We have a vital power. We can go out there. Jesus sent them out two by two. And he says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Jesus did all these great things. And he says, greater things than these shall ye do. We have that power through him.
Amen.
We are full of vigor. Oh, we're not serving God like, well, I don't know if we can do this. I suppose. Let's give it a try and see what happens. Amen. If we live in him, we are fresh in him. And I shared this song. It's a saying that I have. You have to keep this experience with Jesus. You got to keep it fresh. Oh, that song we sang, and I let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsting soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. God, I need a fresh touch from you. Amen. If we live in him, we are strong in him. Amen. There's nothing that I can't do. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. We are efficient in him. We can do what God wants us to do. We are active in him if we live in him. We're active and we're powerful. It's not because I'm powerful. It's because he's living in me. So in him we live and move and have our being. We have all of this in Jesus. Amen. To live in Jesus is more than just breathing. You know, we think living, that's something, it's breathing. But to live in Jesus is much more than that. Amen. We live a life worthy of the name of Jesus if we're living in Him. We are active. We are blessed. We are powerful in Him. We have peace. We have joy. We have prosperity. We have blessing. We can go around, amen, praying blessings upon others. We can speak blessings in the name of Jesus upon other people. Amen. We can cast devils out. And so in Him we live and we move. And the Greek word for move is to stir up, to cause to go, to set in motion. And so I went through it quickly, but we live. We have all of what I just said. And then we move, we stir up the cause to go. We are set in motion, we are set into action. I live in Him and I move in Him. And now I'm going to go out and do those things that God wants me to do. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing this. I think it's in Acts chapter 3. And Peter and John were going down to the temple about the hour of prayer, about 9 o'clock in the morning. And they were so full of the power of God. That lame man was there. You know the story. There was another time Peter was so full of the power of God that if happily his shadow might pass over them, that they were healed by the power and the presence of God. He was living in Jesus. He was moving in Jesus. He was following Him. And if we're living and moving in Him, we're going to do what He wants us to do. We're going to be stirred up. We're going to be on the go. Amen. And everything of God within us is set into motion. It's set into motion. In the scripture, in the Acts, one of the writers there said this. He said, everywhere that Jesus went, He was doing good. Everywhere He went, He was doing good. We're set into motion. Everywhere we go, we're going to be doing good. We don't have to think it out. We don't have to pre-plan it. I don't think Peter and John pre-planned what was going to happen that morning when that lame man received his healing. I don't think Peter pre-planned that he's going to go down there and his shadow's going to pass people and they're going to be healed of their sickness. He didn't pre-plan that. It just happened. Amen. Because there was a stirring of the moving of the working of the power and the Spirit of God. There was a troubling of the waters. And so you're going to be stirred up. Everything of God is going to be set in motion. Amen. If you live and you move in Him, nothing is impossible to you because you are in Him and He is in you. Amen. The Greek word then, finishing up here, amen. The Greek word for "and I have my being," I live and I move and I have my being, that means the condition or character as to a person or what a thing is, the qualities, beliefs that distinguish or identify a person. Amen. I live, I move, I have my being. Everywhere I go, Jesus just bleeds out of me. I just talk Jesus everywhere I go. I'm one of their religious fanatics. I can give you a twist on everything. I can get the Bible. I can get the scripture involved in everything. I can talk about Jesus wherever I go. So in Christ, you take on His character. You take on His qualities. You take on His beliefs. When you live and move and have your being in Him, I know who I am in Him. Amen. I know what I am, persuaded that He is able, amen, to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. We have to recognize this. In ourselves, we are weak. We're a nobody. We're a nothing. We're going to be a flop. We're going to be a failure. You might be able to go out there and do a lot of things in your own power and strength, but you're going to come up against something that you're not going to know what to do. And you need God's strength and God's help to help you in those situations. You need to know who you are in Him. Amen. My identity is set, not because of what I have done, but because of what He has done. My identity is set because of what He has done. And I'm just His servant. I'm just obedient. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm going to go out. I live and I move and I have my being in Him. And then you're going to be able to reap the blessings that God has for you. God has blessings for all kinds of blessings for all of us. And we probably don't receive half of them because we forget that we live and we move and we have our being in Him. It's like, oh, test it and try. I'm oft made to wonder why it must be thus all the day through. And I don't know how the rest of it. It's not too much of an uplifting song. Amen. If I live and I move and I have my being in Him, I'm not going to have that downcast, tested and tried. I just don't understand it. I'm off the wonder. Sounds to me like the enemy's throwing some fiery darts at you, and you're taking the hits from those fiery darts, and if those fiery darts are left to burn, they're going to eat away like a canker, and they're going to destroy that hope that you have within you. You've got to rise above that. Amen. You've got to rise above that. In verse 27, and we already looked at, the Lord isn't far from any one of us. People need to respond to that longing that's in their inner being. And I shared that at the funeral on Friday. There was a lot of people there at that funeral. I preached a good salvation message to them, not because I did it, but I shared the Word of God. And people need to respond to that longing in their inner being, and they need to search for the one true God. Do you know what? You may feel like God is far away from you. Let's just look at a few scriptures tonight. Amen. And then I'll be done here. Psalms chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14 and verse 2. Psalms chapter 14 and verse 2. And the thought that I want you to have in mind, if you think that God can't be found, I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Amen. I should have marked these out ahead of time. Psalms has got so many chapters in it. Psalms chapter 14. We are going to look at a verse there, and we have a couple more that we want to look at.
God wants to be found.
Psalm 14:2 says this, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." God's looking for men that want to understand Him. God's looking for men and women that want to seek Him. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I got there a little bit quicker. Now, the thought is in mind. God wants to be found. Proverbs 8, 17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Those that seek me early shall find me. And the meaning of that is, those that seek me diligently shall find me. Sometimes it seems like God's so far away. Oh, you're talking about this, and I'm trying my best, but times when I try to talk to God, it doesn't seem like He's listening. It doesn't seem like my prayers are getting through. What's going on? We need to stand on the promises of the Word of God. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." And the last one I want to read here is Jeremiah.
It's just over a couple of pages here. Jeremiah chapter 29.
Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says this to us. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says this, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." God, I got to hear from heaven. I don't care. I don't even have any interest in food. How bad do you want to get a response from God? How much do you want God in your life? God, I want you to reveal yourself to me in such a way, I'm not even interested in food anymore. I don't even care if I drink anymore. God, I got to hear from you. And so Jeremiah was saying that this in the vision that he had, "You shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all of your heart." God, He isn't like an idol. Back over to Acts 17, Paul went on in his talk to these people. God's not like an idol. "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." Philippians 4:13, Sister Oaks wants to come down to the music. Amen. "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. And this God that we have on the inside of us, we live and we move and we have our being in Him. And I'm just going to read a couple scriptures to you. I could quote them to you, but we're going to read them. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus was talking here. And this is the Jesus that lives on the inside of us. This is the one we live and move and have our being in Him. And He said in Matthew 28, in verses 18 through 20, we're going to read, "And Jesus spake unto them, saying this." This is this Jesus that we live and we move and have our being in Him. Jesus said this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all, even unto the end of the world." Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Let's sing this song tonight. "I'm wrapped up and I'm tied up and I'm tangled up in Jesus." And I want you, that's an easy saying, that verse that I read tonight in 27. I want you to go, or 28, I want you to go about this week, and I want you to think this, "In Him I live, live and I move and I have my being. In Him, I live and I move and I have my being. When something turns upside down for you, say that to yourself. It's in Jesus. I live and I move and I have my being. I can do this. I can make it. When temptation comes your way, say in Him, in Jesus, I live and I move and I have my being. I know and I am persuaded that He is able to do abundantly above all that I can ask or think of. We need to be just so wrapped up, tangled up in Jesus that we just can't get away from Him. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as some of your also your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Amen. So get wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. Amen. Your identity is in Him.